Just been a busy week. You know, the Christmas season is upon us, right?
It is.
We are, you'd think we would be winding down, but we're really not winding down. It seems like we're busy, busy, busy. A lot of things going on. A lot of people staying in the yard doing things. Folks, you are tuned in to the Yard Pro Show today, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. I'm one of your hosts, Mills Grant. It's a delight to be here.
And I'm Scott Beard.
Wow, looky there. So you got Mills and Scott here. The phone lines are open. It is Saturday, December the 7th. Nice, crisp, cool morning. A little bit of sunshine peeking through. We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to give us a call, feel free at 1-800-347-1063. That's 800-347-1063. And as always, you can text us at 71307. That's 71307. In the meantime, or during the week, if you don't hear us on the air, you could always look us up on the website at CarolinaFreshFarms.com. There you will find a link to all of your retail locations, some good information, good reads on there about products that we sell, things of that nature. As Scott's like a millennial kid on his phone doing something.
I can multitask.
Yeah, can you? Yeah. What you looking up, weather?
Nope.
You know, they have a wintry mix in the forecast for this coming Friday. Did you see that in the morning? Wouldn't that be nice?
No.
Yeah, a little bit of wintry mix. Actually, if it's going to do that, you might as well just snow 12 inches and keep me inside.
I'd rather have that there.
If it's going to happen, make it happen, right?
Exactly.
So, but during the week, if you'd like to find us, it's very simple at www.carolinafreshfarms.com. You could also find our retail locations. Come by and visit us during the week. Great time to see us. You know, we're going through or kind of getting towards the end of transition into winter dormancy on a lot of our grasses, a lot of our landscape plants. But maybe you're looking or in midst of construction, or you're planning for the spring. Maybe you need a project to happen soon, and you need a little bit of sod or some hardscape materials. A great way to really figure that out. I know everybody loves the convenience of sitting at home and clicking on icons and buying things online. But I think, Scott, there's still a lot of us out there that enjoy touching, feeling the products, especially when it's something that's important.
Try it on.
Yeah, try it on. But when it comes to things like your lawn, I think that is still a very important thing. You know, we invite you to come out, get down on your hands and knees, inspect. We have sod plots. Every variety we sell at every store. Come out, take a look. See how they look during this transition period. You remember years ago, everybody's like, well, you know, the goal was, I want a lawn that's green all winter. We don't hear that much anymore. Everybody's taking that cool season lawn, switching it over to Zoysia. Because of the ease of maintenance and care on that, especially through the heat, the humidity of our summers. And, you know, a beautiful dormant lawn, whether it's Bermuda, Zoysia, Centipede, St. Augustine, it can be just as striking in the landscape, you know, versus a green lawn. It's all about keeping it uniform and all one color, keeping it weed-free. As a reminder, you know, you're a little bit late, but hopefully you got that pre-emergent out several weeks ago. Poannua, things of that nature are well on the way, you know, of germinating and growing. So we got a quick text, and I thought that when I said December the 7th, Scott, it is Pearl Harbor Day. So, 78 years ago, had a text, D sent this and said they enjoyed listening to the show. And thank you to all the veterans out there. You know, we said that several weeks ago on Veterans Day, but I don't think we could ever say that enough, but 78 years ago, that's hard to believe, isn't it? Absolutely hard to believe.
Have you seen the new movie Midway?
No, I have not.
Oh, you?
Really?
It's good.
Yeah, I don't go to movies. I'll have to catch it when it comes out.
Only go when it's a war movie.
Yeah, I don't know, something about theaters, you know.
The closed in, two exits.
The kids are trying to get me to go see the sequel to The Shining, or the so-called sequel to The Shining.
No.
Yeah, so I enjoy The Shining. It's my dark side comes out, right?
Right. Now you're starting to scare me.
Yeah, I know. So, Scott, it is, while we wait, hopefully folks will find us on the phone line at 800-347-1063. They are open, and maybe with a little bit of Christmas cheer, they'll light it up like a Christmas tree. We'll see. You know, last week we talked about Advent being the Saturday before the first Sunday of Advent. Now we're the Saturday before the second Sunday. Excuse me. And last week, we talked about Christmas trees. you know, and kind of what they meant to the season, the history of and the folklore of how they began, where they came from, you know, the Christmas tree for us, you know, here in the United States, I imagine for the majority of our listeners, and I know for you and I, you know, the Christmas tree, we go back to where does it show up in our Christian daily lives and in our churches and things of that nature, and it came out of Germany from Martin Luther. So, you know, and the first Sunday Advent is all about preparing in the coming of Jesus, okay? The second Sunday, a lot of times in most churches, is about the second coming of Jesus, okay? So I'm sitting there thinking, all right, what plant should we feature?
You told me this last night. You said, I got a surprise
for you. Yeah, I got a surprise for you. What plant, you know, can we think of that comes along during the Christmas season that I think a lot of our listeners probably have or try to culture and grow? You know, this is the Yard Pros show. Now, this plant's not typically found out in our yards, but there's a particular plant that I'm thinking of. And, no, we're going to save the one that everybody's probably thinking about for a little bit later in the season. But the one plant I'm thinking of is the Christmas cacti or cactus. Right? We have one at the house. I had no idea.
You have one?
Yeah. It's a small one. Heidi had it. It was up on top of a china cabinet somewhere, and, you know, we're decorating and getting ready for the season, and I pulled this little thing down. I said, ah, it's a Christmas cactus here. Kind of tucked back in the shade, you know. It's still green, still alive. So, you know, the Christmas cactus, an interesting plant, you know. You know, it's not really a cactus. It's a succulent. So think of it and treat it more like we would treat our succulents, you know, the sedums and the things of that nature. You know, sedums grow. We don't hear many people planting sedums out in the landscape anymore. I don't know why.
We do a lot at the store, but it's mostly in containers.
Yeah, but as a landscape plant, they're good because they will tolerate some drier soil, much like the Christmas cactus. Now, they'd still need water, okay? So when that top 1 inch dries out, you need to water that plant. But I did a little digging and said, you know, what are some tips? You know, I'm no expert on succulents and things of that nature. But, you know, hey, I did a little digging, and I think it's interesting to know that to begin with, there's several varieties out there. But the Christmas cactus is generally, you know, they're native to South America. So from like Brazil and that area is where these things are native. They prefer a temperature somewhere in the 70s during the day. This time of the year, we need to keep them 60 to 65 degrees, maybe a little bit cooler at night if we can, you know. So they kind of help us conserve a little bit of heating cost. You know, that's one thing Heidi sometimes gets a little upset with me about. I sleep cold. Or I sleep hot, so I want a cold room. I want to sleep in a very cold room.
Yeah, I know.
So, you know, in the summer, it costs us a lot in electricity because you run the thermostat down. In the winter, man, I save money. Just who needs heat? Cut it off, right? That's why we have blankets. Correct?
Sure.
Yeah, you probably keep your thermostat on like 72 all winter, all day, every day. Yeah, I run mine down to about 65 at night.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Let it get chilly. But the Christmas cactus is, you know, if you receive one now, it's probably budded up, beginning to bloom, things of that nature. Keep it watered. Check it, you know, every couple of days because it is growing. Keep it in a nice, well-lit area in the house, okay? Make certain you may want to give it a little plant food right now, you know, some kind of house plant food, mix it up, or, you know, water soluble, something along that nature. When that top 1 inch of soil dries out, it's time to give a little bit of water. Now, here's a tip on watering houseplants, because sometimes you water them, the water runs through, it ruins your, you know, your antique grandmother's table or whatever you got it on. Ice cubes. You know, we do that a lot on in trade shows when we're exhibiting plants. You know, to water them before we leave at night, just dump some ice around them. That way, as it melts slowly, it waters the plant without hitting it all at once and running through your medium. So, you know, avoid some extreme temperatures like extreme heat, okay? If it's sitting in a sunny window this time of year, who knows, it could be 50 tomorrow and 78 on Saturday, right? So we want to make sure we avoid that. But keep it in a well-lit place. You know, to force them to bloom, if you had one you've been holding on to and you don't see a lot blooming, it's determined by the photo hours during the day. So you can cover them, keep them covered you know, for a period of time, several weeks, to kind of trick the plant into thinking, hey, it's time to bloom. Naturally, they should begin to bud up if they haven't already. Sometime around Christmas, they might not be blooming at Christmas, but as our days get shorter and we have these, you know, 14 hours of darkness at night, you'll see those begin to bud up and go into a bloom period. When you get done with them this year, just keep them watered. At some point this summer, it's fair to take them outside. Okay, put them on your patio, stick them outside. Our climate's fairly good for those during day and night. And then next September, you want to bring them in, make sure you keep them cool. If we can find a way to chill them, get them down to around 50 degrees, keep them dark for a period of a few weeks, you'll find that they're going to bloom a little bit closer to Christmas. So I thought I'd feature the Christmas cactus. What do you say?
Good job.
Hey, and it worked out great because we didn't have some phone calls. How you like that? So we're going to go to the phone lines, folks. You can find us today at 1-800-347-1063. And as always, you can text us at 71307. Let's talk with Dennis in Aiken. Hello, Dennis, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Good morning, guys, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you. Just a quick question. What's the best time to trim or prune bushes around the house that keep their leaves all year round? And what I'm particularly interested in is, I call them barberries, but I think they're Laura Pedlums, maybe, the burgundy leaves.
Yes.
That's the one I need to trim because they grow like weeds, and which is nice, but they can get out of hand real quick, too.
Yeah, I think, Dennis, you're a little bit warmer climate than where I reside. You're in Aiken. Your daytimes are definitely a little bit warmer this time of the year than what I am at my house. But I still feel like we've had enough hard freezes. Things, plants are senescing going into a period of dormancy now. I think if you want to do some pruning between now and Christmas to spruce up the yard before the actual date, knock yourself out. Even some deeper pruning, I think you're fine to do that now. But we've had ample cold weather. Looking at our forecast, you know, we're not going to be, by any stretch, we're going to be bitter cold or anything along that lines. But certainly our night times are in the 30s. Our daytimes are in the 50s. I don't think there's a risk at this point of flushing any new growth. I think the plants had enough chilling hours and cold weather that if you want to start doing some pruning, knock yourself out and go after it.
Does it hurt if I wait till it gets colder?
No, it does not at all. And if you're going to do some really heavy pruning and take them way back, you may even want to wait until we get into January, February.
Okay.
That way you're not looking at such a barren, naked plant for a longer period of time. But if you want to do some light pruning, shape them up a bit before Christmas. I know in my yard and what I do a lot of times is about this time of the year you start decorating, putting out lights. I'll do a little bit of light pruning, and then once I pull everything up very first week of the year, you know, the second week of January, if I'm going to do some deep, severe pruning is when I'll kind of, you know, get a little more serious about it with hand shears or, you know, something bigger.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. You have a great weekend, and thank you for tuning in, and a Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you guys. See
thank you. Bye-bye. You know, Scott, that is a delight to take your first call, and first words out of Dennis's mouth is Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, I like that. I'm making a point. I did it last year. I'm doing it again this year. Everybody I see, Merry Christmas. Just my personal thoughts. While we're here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and Scott, we're going to stay with the phone lines. We got a little bit of time here, so we're in the clear. Let's go to Dick in Simpsonville. Good morning, Dick, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Hey, good morning, and Merry Christmas to you, too.
Merry Christmas to
Christmas.
You.
I've got a landscape etiquette question maybe you can help me out with.
All right.
I live in a corner lot. I live in the county, so the city don't pick up our leaves or nothing. I've got maples, oaks, river birch, crepe myrtle, stuff like that. All of my leaves are gone. They've been gone for almost 3 weeks. I got nothing. I got some poplars, true. I got no leaves left in my yard. I get up every morning, and I want to put down pine straw.
Yeah.
Trees are full of leaves, and all of his leaves blow on my yard every day.
Coming from the neighbor's house.
Yeah, and I got injured 6 months ago, and I can't do everything that I used to do. For 8 years, I just picked them up and didn't care. But this year, it's a real pain because I can't walk too good. And what's etiquette? I mean, can I just blow them back across the road? Or I don't want to make anybody mad.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's a touchy subject. I had a family member, and I'm not going to say whom, but someone in our family years ago had a similar situation. And their neighbor across the street had a big sycamore tree. Sycamore leaves are just humongous. And had a neighbor that just refused to clean up their leaves. I mean, they wouldn't even clean them up all winter. Went through several years of this and was across the road in the same situation. Don't do what he did. He actually put them in, packed them up in garbage bags and then walked across the street and dumped them back in his yard. I think the etiquette there, maybe you throw it out the window. I don't know if I would do that. Depends on how much you like your neighbors. I know, and I don't mind saying it, I get a lot of that, and it's not necessarily my neighbor next door. We live on a cul-de-sac, which is actually downhill, and I'm at the end of the cul-de-sac. So the folks up the street who aren't maintaining, and it's not really that they're not maintaining the yards. A lot of these leaves wind up in the curbs and, you know, on the curbing in the road, and then you get a rain or you have a windy day and the wind's blowing the right way. You get up, you clean your yard up, you get up the next morning, you walk out, and your yard's full of leaves. And I think all of us, I mean, I'm certain there's some other listeners right now that are chuckling or perhaps fuming mad because they're looking at their front yard this morning going, man, I just cleaned mine up yesterday and look, my neighbor didn't get the leaves up. My thoughts are it's, you know, what is the etiquette, Scott? What is your thoughts? I mean, I'm of the taking that you got a couple options. Number one, I think you take your blower on the edges or the perimeter when they first encroach on your lawn. I don't see an issue of blowing a few leaves back just on that property line or to that edge. To clean up your lawn, or do you take the high road? I know you said you're somewhat, you know, having a hard time walking and disabled, but if you got a riding mower or something, do you take the high road and just say, hey,
blow them out and chew them up.
You know, Merry Christmas and run your mower through their yard and help them clean their yard up? Because I think
if I had a bagger, I would. My mower is a 30-year-old Kubota riding tractor.
Yeah,
I can't get a bagger for it.
Oh,
well, wait.
Piece of cardboard and some duct tape on the chute.
Yeah,
and chew it right up.
Yeah, kind of block the. Wait for a very dry day, and just tell your neighbor, you know, start in on their lawn, and you know, we're all have to be friendly to each other. Start in, clean up their yard, and just say, hey, Merry Christmas to you. I thought I'd help you out. Hope you don't mind, and clean up their yard for them. I do it for a similar but different situation every year at Thanksgiving. You know, a couple of the neighbors right beside me. I normally take a half a day off because we have family over, clean up the yard, and I did it again, you know, Thanksgiving week, this, you know, last week, right? Yeah. And Wednesday was going to be raining, so Tuesday I took an afternoon and went home and I got done with my yard, and lo and behold, I said, let's go clean up their yard too. And just told everybody happy Thanksgiving. So maybe you do take the high road, because if you catch those leaves when they're dry, like now, because we, you know, we got a little sprinkle of rain last night, but not enough to really wet them. If you catch them today when it's dry, it's going to rain Monday, and just, you know, run your mower across and chew them up. At least they're going to stay somewhat in that lawn and not blow as likely to blow over into your lawn. So that would be my suggestion.
I got time for one more question?
Sure.
When do they harvest pine straw, and what's the best time to put it down to get the most longevity out of it?
You know, harvest-wise, it's almost a year-round thing. I think, depending, because a lot of these, the pine straw is coming out of pulpwood forest, where it's nothing but pine trees, managed forest, and most of it's fairly clean. You know,
dropped twice.
Yeah, and it drops about twice a year. So, but they're constantly, you know, we get pine straw in all the time. Certain times of year it looks better than others. You know, I would say late winter it starts getting really good. Wouldn't you say, Scott, early spring? As far as longevity, okay. The key to me is using long needle instead of slash.
Yeah, I always use long needle. Yeah. That looks the best.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I'm a pine straw fanatic, and I'm going to put mine out probably the week before Christmas.
And it depends, you know, if the grower, you know, the supplier has a abundance of it, they've got them staged inside tractor trailers, and they'll get rid of those first before the new variety, before the fresher load, before they get rid of that.
I gotcha. I was going to pine straw this week, but my leaves are, my beds are full of leaves again.
Exactly. Well, and I'm kind of in the same situation. We, you know, our little cul-de-sac, there's a couple of oaks that are still holding on to some leaves, and I'm waiting on those, and then stuff just blowing, you know, like I said, down the road from other neighboring yards or that are four, five, six houses away. You know, I kind of decided I'll just wait till maybe the week before Christmas. Hopefully everyone will have their yard somewhat cleaned up or most of the leaves have gone away by that time. But
does it seem like the wind's always blowing in the wrong direction?
That's right. Well, maybe
this week.
Maybe if the house on the other side of them comes on the market, maybe you should move one house up. That way you're upwind, right?
Thanks and Merry Christmas again.
Well, you have a great weekend and Merry Christmas to you, Dick.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Scott, you want this next caller, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go for it. We've got about 3 minutes to the bottom of the hour, but we've got time to talk to him. Let's go to Ron in Greer, because you actually talked about Ron when you walked in the studio today. So, hello, Ron, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Thank you, gentlemen. Yeah, I took the pictures last week.
Yep, got them. And Reels and I, we talked about it this morning. And that area that first photo that you sent, Mills and I both looked at it this morning, that would be a perfect area for that no-mow area. So you get, you know, is that Cavalier Zoysia right there in that area?
There's Cavalier Zoysia right behind the, going closest to me, then following out, there's Cavalier Zoysia.
Yep.
And then right behind that, that's the bear. Well, it's not bear, but, you know, the spot
right.
That needs to be known.
And then your
mow.
Trees. Yep. So I would. Yep. That area right there, I would do that orchard mix.
Orchard mix?
Yep. It's a fescue and orchard mix. That way you got your regular, you know, your ground level with your Cavalier Zoysia. Then you get a step up with that orchard mix. Then you step up from that. Then you got your trees. So then you get a tier look going into the back of your property, and you don't have to mow it.
And you all have that.
Yeah. If Ryan doesn't have it, just let him know. I can bring it by Ryan's store because I just live 10 minutes from Ryan's store.
Okay. Now, next question on that. What kind of ground prep do I have to do, and when do I put that kind of thing down?
Spring's going to be your next best time, and I would jump on it early spring.
And what do I have to do? Cultivate it?
Yeah, I would. I'd till it up, get it, prepare a nice bed for it, smooth it out, then put your seed out.
By how deep?
Oh, is there moss in that area also?
There's not really any moss that I can recall in that area. The moss is around that corner up towards the house.
Yep.
In that little
towards the Florida
the
room, you said? Yeah.
Yeah.
Take a screwdriver out there, you know, see how far you can go down. If it's really compact, then I would go 5-6 inches. If it's not, then you can go 3-4 inches.
Okay, so if I push on a screwdriver and it goes in 4 or 5 inches, I'm good.
Yep, so just till it up. You don't have to go as deep, you know, you don't have to go 5-6 inches, but you can shoot it 3 or 4 inches, till it, make a nice bed for it, then come back and seed it.
And if it's shallow, then I got to go deeper. Okay,
then you have to go deeper. Yeah, loosen that soil up.
All right. Now, how about that other area there? I was thinking where I showed you where the moss was.
Oh, I'm with you. I'd let it go.
Just let that moss
just
go.
Just let the moss go. I'm a big fan of moss.
Maybe taking now, I've tried to kill off that wild Bermuda there. Maybe I could just put down some I don't know, some pine straw or some
you can do that.
You know, mulch
yeah.
or something.
Yep, that'd work.
Ron,
we
appreciate the call. We're going to have to run. It's the bottom of the hour.
Thanks. Have a good one.
Thank
right, Ron,
you, Ron. Have a Merry Christmas. Folks, you are tuned in to the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. Give us a call during the break at 1-800-347-1063. The phone lines are open, and text us at 71307. We'll talk to you in a minute. Welcome back to the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. I'm one of your hosts, Mills Grant.
And I'm Scott Beard.
And it is an absolute delight to be here, is it not?
It is.
Wow. Saturday, December the 7th. Where, oh, where has 2019 gone? You're thinking where it went? Can you find it?
No.
Oh, I don't know. It was a great year, man.
It was it was an awesome year.
A lot of good memories, a lot of good things. So, great year. You know, we're all still here. We're all still doing fairly well, right? Mm-hmm. So, and we do appreciate all of the listeners and those who have become participants over the years. If you'd like to give us a call, we have the phone lines open. We can take your calls now at 1-800-347-1063. That's 800-347-1063. And as always, you can text us at 71307. We would love to hear from you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Scott, you know what we didn't do the first half of the show?
You don't have it, do you?
I've got it.
Oh, you do? I see it over there.
You know I've got it. I got excited when you were talking about the Christmas season, right?
Tell me when you're ready.
And Christmas plans. So, folks, we're going to do it. It's the top of the bottom half of the show. It is your time for your weekly South Carolina drought update. No, you can't see.
Oh, that's looking better.
Oh, come on, man. You spoiled it. You know? Hey, the drought update out there, folks. You know, last week, we had 34% of our great state was in some form of drought. No, excuse me, 55% of our state was in some form of drought. This week, only 34% of our state. I mean, we are 20% improved in 1 week. And, you know, the interesting thing, Scott, there's a lot of yellow, not so much brown now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yellow's a good thing. If you were looking at what I'm looking at, yellow is D0, meaning abnormally dry. It's our first stage of drought. That little bit of tan is moderate drought. D1 is what we classify that as. That moderate drought still hanging around kind of in the Midlands over to the Georgia border. But the abnormally dry, the first stage of drought, is really southern Greenville County, Lawrence County, Union. Looks like, you know, Newberry.
Your old stomping ground area.
You know, yeah, my old stomping ground area. So we are remarkably improved. This time last year, we're still not quite, we're not quite there. A year ago, only 2% of the state was in drought. So 34% of us are still in drought. Why is that important? A lot of our plants, and if you're in these counties in the Midlands, let's make certain we're still running this irrigation system or we're dragging some hose from time to time. Because these plants, although they're dormant, especially lawns, but even our landscape shrubbery, we still need moisture. Okay, the plants, the cell structure is still there. You know, although we may not have living cells in the blades of dormant grass, we have those living cells in the stolons, in the crown, in the rhizomes, and the roots, and all of that. The plant is still alive. You know, Scott, I think over the years, a lot of people have a hard time understanding that. They think, oh, my Bermuda lawn dies in the winter. No, it doesn't die. It senesces. Okay? Now, if you don't maintain it in the winter, it might die from desiccation, meaning lack of water or cold temperatures or a combination of the two. But in order to combat some cold temperatures, especially when we get severe cold come January, February, we know it's going to happen. We want to make sure that the plants are well hydrated and have moisture within their system. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, well, there you go. I see you. You're looking again and just cruising the internet.
I was pulling up the history of Clinton.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting little town, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, it's a neat old town. My hometown. Proud to say I'm a...
John Duncan was the first native.
Yep.
From Aberdeen, Scotland.
From Scotland.
1752.
Bunch of rebels. You know, that's what settled the upstate.
Yep.
For the most part. Frontiersmen. Rebels. People that wanted to get out of the big city of Charleston and go experience the West.
It's true.
And they made about a... What,
with
I'd say
upstate,
a week trip, maybe?
With the reason then? Why, the upstate of South Carolina is a big resemblance to the Scottish area, terrain and stuff.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why the further you go over the mountains and into western North Carolina, you see more of that Scottish heritage.
Mm-hmm.
But can you imagine, and we've said this for years, hiking in the woods and backpacking, you know, you think back then, they didn't have the technology we had. Certain, you know, horse-drawn carriages, riding horseback, and walking for the most part. But I'm talking technology like Gore-Tex boots, Gore-Tex rain gear, down jackets.
Well, they had North Face.
You know, nice gloves. They didn't have all of this. No. You know, they didn't have the wicking shirts and pants and socks and underwear we now use to make us feel better when it's hot and humid. And you know how humid it gets around here. Can you imagine hiking through, though, and you finally you huff and puff and you get to a ridge and you think, man, it's just one more mountaintop. We get over that next one. It's just going to be beautiful and flat in a prairie. And you get there and you look across another valley and another higher mountain peak. At what point do you just say, hey, we're stopping here, man. We're setting up camp here.
Yeah. I'd have got the Linville Gorge area and said, that's it. I'm not going
I wouldn't even gotten that far. Yeah. I'd have gotten to about Greenville and said, okay, I'm good. You know, this will work for us. There's some flat land right here. There's a creek. We're good to go. And it's lush. You know, what's interesting about where we live, really the entire state of South Carolina, but especially we get into western South Carolina, into the mountainous region, it is one of the most, if not the most diverse plant and fauna area in the world. I mean, people, you know, it rivals the tropics.
The rainfall is unbelievable.
To a degree, a subtropical climate with a lot of rainfall. I mean, you look at the rainfall in most of our state, especially all of our listening area, whether it's Columbia, they're a little bit behind Greenville on annual rainfall. But, you know, you're 40, 50 inches of rain a year. And
there's one part up there is almost
Seattle,
100.
Washington doesn't get that much rain. You know?
It's just misty all the time.
Well, we get more sunlight than they get. That's why the perception is oh, we're not as wet as it. No, we get more rain than they get. So.
I could not live there.
I don't know. I kind of like the dark, gloomy days.
You're really starting to scare me.
Well, the older I get, the more I like afternoon naps.
Oh, no.
It's good napping.
No, I can't take a nap.
Oh, really?
If I take a nap, I can't go to sleep at nighttime.
Yeah, that's true. Makes it difficult.
Yeah.
Just stay up later. So, Scott.
No, I don't want to do that.
Let's go to the text lines. We had a text that came in. And by the way, the phone lines are open, 1-800-347-1063. We'd love to hear from you. Text line 71307. Send us one. So we got a text in, Scott. It says, big oak tree taken down and stumped ground about 2 years ago. Got rid of about half the wood chips and have done nothing in the way of replacing the grass. How much and when? Thank you in advance, John in Spartanburg. So, you know, it's been a couple years. Most of those wood chips should have decomposed at this point. You know, I would imagine for the most part. Hopefully, John has brought some extra soil in at this point, too. You know, smooth it out. It depends, you know, the grass, you know, it depends on what you're putting down. Now, a lot of people ask, is an appropriate time of the year to lay sod? I would go with yes. You know, we had a little bit of this discussion last week on the show. But sod can be installed really year-round. Now, there's certain risk. The colder we get, the more extreme the climate gets, that, you know, there's certain risk that you have to prepare yourself for and know that there's a little bit of increased risk for potentially some winter damage. But sodding this time of year is certainly acceptable if you've got bare ground. Now, I don't think if I just wanted to convert my yard, you know, I've got a cool season lawn, and if I wanted to convert it to zoysia, it's not the best time of year. Therefore, I wouldn't go out and say, hey, I'm going to plow the yard this weekend, honey, next weekend I'm going to re-sod it. But if I were in a situation where it's new construction and, you know, hey, put some sod down, okay?
Are you ever going to convert your yard?
I'm seriously considering it this spring. The backyard. Never do the front yard. It'll always be
backyard. Faster.
Yeah. Thinking about doing zoysia in the backyard. Not real sure.
But you always had the fescue in the front.
May do the Chisholm zoysia is what I'm thinking.
That must be Harriet.
It must be. It says, Merry Christmas and go Tigers. Yes, it is that time, folks. It is championship weekend.
It is.
Not national championship, but conference championship weekend. A lot of good football on today. So between the games, it's a good time to get out and work in the yard as well. Maybe get your leaves up. Maybe, etiquette-wise, help your neighbors if they keep blowing in your yard. Find a way to help them out. Tell them Merry Christmas.
I've got to get the leaves out in my yard.
No, you don't have any. You don't have any trees. How do you have
no
leaves?
Trees.
But you know, getting back to the winter, what do we do in the landscape? We can sod if we're going to patch an area. You know, let's match the grass. Let's figure it out. Now, certain grasses carry a higher risk. Bermuda zoysia is a lot lower risk of laying those when they're dormant compared to a St. Augustine or a centipede. But in the upstate, you shouldn't be primarily locked in the St. Augustine or centipede unless it's some special situation. In the Midlands, a little bit milder climate. St. Augustine and Centipede, you still got time to put a little sod out. Now, the key with that when you lay dormant sod and winter sod is, number one, it's just like summer. We never lay sod or suggest you lay it on dry ground. Has to be on moistened earth, okay? After you install the sod, just like you would in the summer, you need to wet the sod with a garden hose. Water it in well. I know it's brown. Water it in well. And then we want you to keep up with the watering. You know, once or twice a week, if we're not getting rain, you need to put some water on the sod. Keep it hydrated, keep it moist through the winter, and you should be fine. Is that it in a nutshell?
Mm-hmm.
So, Scott, we're going to go back to the text. Let's see here. How much pre-emergent should I apply to help kudzu bloom nice and green this spring? Oh, we got a bunch of jokesters out there today, right? You know, kudzu, I'm convinced, no matter what you do. You know, of course, it's brown now. It's not dead. It's just dormant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, actually, some of those vines will die back. The younger new growth may not make it through the winter. But a very interesting plant. You know? Brought here to initially thinking it would be a great food crop for our livestock. Problem is, you know, if a cow eats 10 pounds of food a day, the kudzu grows 30 pounds a day. So it kind of outgrows the amount that they can eat. Hey, it's a great idea. It grows so quickly. Why not? Let's make this an erosion control product.
Correct.
But then it grows up the trees and chokes them out. But, hey, if you want to encourage it to grow, sling a little fertilizer to it, right? What do you say? Yeah, I wouldn't either. Just leave it alone. It's going to grow. It's going to do what it wants to do. And you're going to fight it. So, Scott, we're going to go to the phone lines. Chuck has found us in Bowling Springs. Good morning, Chuck, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Fantastic.
Hey, I've got a silver maple tree. And it's a beautiful tree, very nice, but it's getting kind of big. And I was wondering, is it possible to kind of top that thing off and shape it smaller? Or is that going to kill the tree if you do something like that?
You know, silver maple's a pretty aggressive, quick-growing tree. I don't know if topping it off is going to kill it, but topping it off, I think it's going to make for a very difficult tree long-term to maintain some shape. Because every time you cut it, Chuck, you're going to get three or four buds below that cut to begin to grow. And it's going to have this deadhead, almost chrysanthemum look. That's how they make chrysanthemums. If I use that as a reference in a greenhouse production, mm-hmm. That's how they make it bush out and just have that kind of a mop head to it. And I think mm-hmm. That's what you're going to force that tree to do. I know it's difficult, but sometimes when we get a tree which is outgrowing its space, sometimes we have to make that decision that, hey, we need to remove this tree, but if you want to be a good steward, you want something in the landscape, say, hey, I'm going to remove this one from the center of the yard, but I'm going to plant another one over here. Or mm-hmm. Maybe you plant a different variety or a smaller tree back in its place.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense. It has a kind of a lot of surface-type roots that are kind of messing up the lawn a little bit there now, too. So better take it down. That's what I did with that
keep in mind, you know, the maples are going to they're all going to be shallow-rooted trees.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all the maples are. And one thing I want people to remember, too, landscapes and plants don't last forever. They have a lifespan just like we as humans have a lifespan. And I don't know, you know, a silver maple that's 15, 20, 25 years of age, at some point, you know, you have to say, okay, it's reaching, you know, the end of its lifespan as a landscape tree. It's time for me to renovate and do something different. And I know we all hate to cut a tree, but at the same token, if it's not going to fit your space and it's outgrown it, I don't think you're going to be real successful trying to keep it small. I really don't.
Okay. Yeah, and it's also starting to produce a lot of leaves, like your previous caller was talking about, trying to get rid of those leaves.
You're not his neighbor by chance, are you?
No,
Chuck's in Bowling Springs.
Just making sure.
I pick up my leaves.
But another thing you could do is if you want to take that down, then plant something that would not get so big.
Yeah.
Like a Chinese elm or something like that.
Yeah, plant something that's a little bit slower growing, a little more compact, back in its place.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that makes sense. Yeah, it's right beside my driveway and the property next door, so it's almost on the property line, so it's kind of cutting into the other guy's lawn a little bit, too.
And if it's next to the driveway and roots are only going to come up more and more, it's probably time, if they're starting to expose themselves, they're eventually going to expose themselves through your concrete. If you got asphalt, it's going to show up sooner. If you got concrete, it'll take longer.
There's a neighbor of mine, like six houses down, that planted one up against the side, not even 3 feet from the sidewalk, and the sidewalk is now buckled.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. That sounds like it's time to get rid of it.
Well, sounds great. Chuck, we hope you have a Merry Christmas.
Okay, you do too. Thanks.
Thank you, Chuck. Bye-bye. Great question. Right?
Mm-hmm.
What you thinking?
I was remembering one of the parks I went to this past summer where we were talking about rainfall, you know, in the upstate, it's, you know, in the 50s, 40s, mid-40s to 50s average rainfall. And I remember one park that the rainfall was like 100 inches up in the mountains. Do you know which
Mount
one
Mitchell
was?
Probably.
Mount Mitchell
2 years ago or last year when we had all the rain.
It was 160.
Yeah.
But the average is 131.
Yeah, at Mount Mitchell. So, you know, wrap your head around it, Scott. That's what makes this area that we live in, that's why we call it the transition zone, zone 7, zone 8. It's a great area. If you enjoy gardening, it is a fantastic area to garden.
And if you've never been to Mount Mitchell, go.
Oh, yeah, especially this time of the year. You know, that's what you got to learn to enjoy the beauty at any time of year.
And then what's the other place? Instead of turning right on the Blue Ridge Parkway going towards Mount Mitchell, turn left towards the...
Mount Pisgah?
Where the berries are and the little waterfall.
Craggy Gardens?
No. Further past that, towards the hotel that's on the ridge right there.
The hotel that's on the ridge is Pisgah Inn. That's,
okay.
Graveyard
Fields.
Yeah. Balsam Mountain.
Yes.
If you go above Graveyard Fields or go west,
then turn
past Graveyard Fields, you turn right... And you go kind of to the top of that little gravel road and park, and you can walk and summit Balsam Mountain.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some beautiful areas around. But could you imagine, like we said, you know, back in colonial days, you get to a certain point, and you're like, how many ridges do I need to cross?
Or if you had your wife with you back then, she's like, nope, I'm going back to Charleston.
Yeah. I need the flat ground. Scott, you know, one of the things we've talked about today, yes, I got another text before I go into that. Guys, today is Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day. So let's not forget. We talked about that first half of the show, had a texter send us a text. And, please don't forget not only Pearl Harbor, but all of those who served this country and served it, whether it's World War I, World War II, you know, Vietnam, Korea, you know, Iraq War. Let's not forget all of those who have served and fought for the freedoms that we enjoy. The freedoms that a lot of us enjoyed this time of the year, you know, as we kicked off the show and talked about the second Sunday of Advent being tomorrow, going into the second week of Advent. Those are the freedoms that they fight for. Sometimes we get a little jaded and forget about that. Yeah, it's about the economy. Yeah, it's about all of us. We all get wrapped up into, you know, the materialistic side of our lives. Right? We're only human. But let's not forget, you know, what we really and what these great men and women have done and what they're fighting for is the freedom to be able to do what you want to do. You know, for me, it's attend church on Sunday. You know, let's not forget about that and what they fought for. So thank you for all of that. Scott, you know, this time of the year is a great time to plan. To plan what you're going to do in the landscape. Here's the other thing it's great for, hardscapes. It's a good time of year for hardscapes.
Yes, great
time. You know, build a patio. Planting plants. You know, you want to plant a tree, you want to plant some bigger shrubs, now's a great time to do it because you got the winter to kind of get them conditioned, and they will root a little bit, believe it or not, in the winter. So, Scott, we have waited. We've got a caller, or it'll be our last caller of the day, which is fantastic. We'll wrap up the show with Mike in Elgin, new to South Carolina. Hello, Mike, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show. Mike, are you there? Mike, you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, sorry, I must have hit the wrong button. You know, these fancy phones, I can't figure them out. So you're new to South Carolina?
Yes, sir. My wife and I just moved down here from Alaska.
Wow.
That's
well,
a move.
A little warmer.
Just a little bit. I'm not sure I'm going to survive, but I'm going to make the best of it.
You're probably in shorts.
Oh, man.
Well, no, but I am in a short sleeve right now.
Yeah, well, and hey, don't kid everybody. We know it gets warm in Alaska for about 2 weeks, right?
I've seen it 96 degrees in Fairbanks.
Oh, wow. So, but yeah, y'all get the wet stuff and the heavy wet snows and the extremes of the winter, I guess you'd say. So, welcome to South Carolina.
Yeah.
When I run into folks, and whether they've been here for 2 weeks or 2 years or 20 years, I always say, if nobody's welcomed you here, I say welcome to South Carolina. We've got about 2 minutes left, so what can we help you with?
Well, we bought a house in Elgin, and it was a bank foreclosure. It'd been unoccupied for about 3 or 4 years. Nobody had done much of anything to it. The front yard has got about 47 different varieties of I'm not sure what's growing out there. Very little of it is actual grass, so I know I'm going to have to till it up and start from scratch. The backyard slopes into a wooded area behind the house. It's got an intermittent stream. It pretty much qualifies as wetlands. I've got like 8 different kinds of trees. I can't identify most of them. I know I've got 2 different kinds of oaks. I've got sweet gum. I've got holly trees, and I'm not sure what all else. And I need to thin some of those trees out. Where would I go? What would be the best source of information for me, just literally starting from scratch, to try to get a handle on what all I need to be doing?
I tell you, and when you were describing this, something came to mind. Marshall and Susie run the store there in Columbia, and which is not far from you. You're in Elgin. They're off of Clemson Road, kind of between Two Notch Road and I-20. You need to go out there and talk with Susie.
And
Susie will come out to the house one afternoon, one morning during the week, find a time and say, Susie, would you come out and walk the yard, spend an hour, hour and a half with us, with you and your wife? And Susie has a lot of local knowledge. She can help you identify some of the nicer native plants or trees that are growing. Hey, you may want to keep this one. You may want to get rid of this one, and give you some ideas of what to do in landscaping. She has a pretty extensive background as well in landscaping and shrubbery and placement of shrubbery. So I think I would start with Susie. I mean, great young lady.
All right.
She'll do a fantastic job. It's something we do when we have time. We take sheer delight as a company of going and visiting folks just like you and your wife. And
this time of year,
advice.
We have time to do that.
Yeah, winter is the time for us to do it. Spring, not so much. We are really busy. But
yeah, well, I can understand. Sure, you bet.
But I would roll out there and, if you know, take them a half a dozen Krispy Kremes and some coffee. And
that's just for Marshall.
For Marshall. And say, hey, man, I really need Susie to come out to the house. And I think you'll find that they'll be very welcoming and help you out, okay?
Okay. Terrific. One more quick question, if I can.
I wish I had time, honestly. But I tell you what, stay on the line, and I'll pick you up at the end of the show. How about that?
All right.
Thanks. Oh man, call us back at the studio, please. I just cut him off, folks. You've been tuned into the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. Have a happy week gardening, and Merry Christmas.